Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, how are you doing, my man?
Doing good. Happy Monday. Happy President's Day.
Happy President's Day everybody out there. We have Americans celebrate President's Day. And really, I don't think even half the country celebrates President's Day. Like, I had to work today. Did you have to work? But my wife is off.
Yeah, I didn't get it off. The parking garage wasn't quite as full. So I was jealous. I saw a lot of 300 par listeners golfing today. So happy for them. But unfortunately, I wasn't as lucky.
100%. A tad jealous. To everybody got to play an extra day of golf today. But congratulations to you. T-Bone, you got to play some golf this weekend. We won't name drop the club, but how was the experience? Was it good?
It was incredible. It was quite the upgrade from my usual Herman Park outing. So always thankful to, you know, get into a private club as a guest, and had a blast. Transfusions, terrible golf, but had a great time. So it's been good. When's the last time you teed it up? I don't want to put you on the spot as the main host of a golf podcast, but Tiger Woods has probably played more golf than you in the last 2 years.
Let's put it this way. I've not played a round of golf this year. It is, at the time of this recording, it is February 20th. I have not played a round of golf this year, and it's not due to cold weather. Let's put it that way. You know, those who live up north, they're like still battling the snow. It's a whole thing. I don't envy you. We're based in Houston, Texas. We can play golf all year round, and I just haven't due to life circumstances. Which is totally fine. That's just kind of the stage of life that I'm in at the moment. If anybody really cares, like, you can let us, you can ask me and I'll answer. So that's why you got to shoot us an email at 300parpod@gmail.com. Follow us on our social media at 300parpod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel for those who are watching on YouTube. We appreciate you. Shout out to Andrew Lopez. He is a YouTube 300 par listener. So shout out to you, Lopez, my man. He was up in Carolina for our friend Derek. Mutual friend Derek, he is having a baby here soon. So this is like his last getaway. They went down there. So, hey, shout out to y'all. Hope y'all had a good weekend. T-Bone gave the salute for those who are listeners here. So, again, we don't have the full Zoom hours here. So we have 40 minutes. We got a lot to talk about here in 40 minutes. Before we get going, T-Bone, is there anything you want to get off your chest? We're thinking talking some Riviera. John Rahm comes over with the win. We're going to talk some Full Swing. Netflix preview recap the first two episodes. And then, hey, we got a top five headed your way. That's a new segment we want to do. Because if we were to do golf gossip, which I'm sure we will at some point, it's just got to be about live golf. Oh, shout out to the dog. I'm about to say, my dog's in here too, actually. Here for those who are. Yep. He's lying down on the ground, though. Hold on.
Getting our first pet appearance.
Yeah. Hey, look at that.
I had some Walmart style Wi-Fi connections, so now I'm on the floor, and Melly wants to join the podcast. So, hey, desperate times come for desperate cause for desperate measures. Shit. It's Monday. But yeah, we're rock and roll.
For those listening,
may take 2 years off, but we're always gonna be back, baby.
We are back better than ever. All right. T-Bone, let's just dive into it, man. Riviera, Tiger's the host now, the Genesis Open. This is one of those courses where it's like everybody freaking loves it. I feel like in the last few years, it's really kind of people are starting to appreciate the kind of golf course it is. Like, when I think of golf in California, I think Torrey Pines, I think Pebble. Riviera probably should be in that conversation, if not more so. Good week overall. John Rahm comes with the win. Tiger is back. That's, of course, the dominating headline. What were some of your big takeaways from the week at Riviera?
So, I agree. This course is so cool, watching it on TV. The big hills, those big, weird-looking trees are so cool. And I think the fact that they made it a designated event makes it that much more hype, and it's going to bring that much more good players to the event. So, I'm not going to say major, but it did feel like a really big deal. This was, I think, an awesome tournament, and I think one of my kind of the takeaways here is Jon Rahm is definitely the best player in golf, but holy shit, did the guy get some breaks this week? I mean, off the grandstand, getting free drops with lost balls, hit provisionals, no penalty strokes. It was crazy, and I think the home of fans out there with the LA fans, there are a lot of people pulling for Homa, and when you watch the best player in the world, I'm not saying that they were necessarily wrong, but some of the breaks and rulings he got this week were tough for the Homa fans, but ended up kind of allowing Rahm to run away with it. But I won't take away too much from the breaks he got, because the guys, I mean, he's competed in every tournament this year. He's what, three wins in 2023? Could have probably five. So he's an assassin, best player in the world, I think, even when you compare him to Scotty right now. So yeah, he's gonna, I might already be changing that Rory pick from Augusta, because I don't know how you can't pick Rom right now.
I think that's a great way to put it. He's an assassin because it feels like he's always in the mix. Once he's at the top of the leaderboard, he doesn't really give the lead away. That's one thing we have talked a lot about in the past, 2 years ago when we were doing this regular week, but we're back again. Most people win golf tournaments because the leader comes back to them. Most people lose golf tournaments more than people win golf tournaments. And Jon Rahm is one of those guys where when he gets the lead, he doesn't give it away. Now, it's taken a while for him to get to that point. I think very famously, the Players comes to mind a few years ago when he just had absolutely no business going for the green and two on 11, hit it in the water, and like, what, he tried to hit a 3-wood from like 275 from the rough? Like,
That was fairway
that's not the
bunker. I
point.
think it was a fairway bunker to like carry
Thank you.
water and
Yes.
crosswind. Love it. Love it. Perspective.
Yeah,
But
great, but that's also the mentality that's gotten him to world number one multiple times now. But he's finally able to like rein it in and get it under control a little bit more. And so that's why I think that's a good way to phrase it to you. And he's an assassin. So yeah, big week for Rom. Yeah, tough, also tough week for Homa. You could tell in his post-round press conference how much he wanted to win this tournament. Because not only has he won it, but he said he wanted to win it in front of fans too. And as you touched on before, he's a local kid. He's probably played that course multiple times in college, high school, and then obviously as a professional. So in order, because that's a really cool finishing hole. Like, I don't think it's a great golf course, great finishing hole. There's a picture circulating around on Twitter of like the
I
hole
saw that
being
from like the
built. That was really cool.
1920s. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a
Yeah, it was
natural
awesome.
grandstand. That's pretty cool, right? You can all these grandstands, at the Open Championship or whatever major golf tournament. That's a natural one. That's really cool. I like that a lot. Kind of like a not the same way, but the stadium at the Players Championship Stadium 16-17 is really like a bowl, true stadium type feel. Hence the name. Who'd have thunk? But yeah, Tiger makes the comeback, plays all four rounds, makes the cut. That's great. As you mentioned earlier, it's an elevated event. I think that helps a lot too. 10 gets a lot. People don't really like hole 10 there, but I think it's a pretty unique hole. And day and age where a lot of golf holes look the same, that one does not. So that's why I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have thoughts on 10
So
or not.
it looks impossible. I mean, you don't even see guys lay up that far back, because I don't think you have the option to. But I actually heard one of the issues is the grass. I don't know if you heard anything about this, but something I want to say that, almost like the runoff from trying to stop a ball in that green is because of the grass that's on that course. And they were saying, talking about potential renovations of like putting new grass in, and apparently it's rooted like 4 feet deep into the ground. It'd be $1 million millions of dollars worth of renovations. But yeah, it is weird because, if they hit it left, there's kind of that area where they almost get a free drop. You can't really land a drive on it. You can't really land a, a flip wedge into it. You almost got to be chipping. So it is a weird hole. I don't know if I love it, but I like it a lot to watch on TV, and I think it's really unique. So makes it a good hole. I think yesterday, a guy like Rom is, on the driver's seat, makes like a knee knocker for bogeys. So you can get that on that hole. A lot of things can happen. I think that, and it, really adds well to the tournament. So I'm a fan for it, fan of it. I don't know if I'd love it if I played it all the time, but
Yeah,
it's a good hole.
it's good entertainment value to your point for the fans watching on TV because it can bring somebody back in. I mean, that's what happened, right? Rom made bogey there, it brought Max back into the mix, at least for a period of time. So, good takeaway. I think it's interesting that Riviera's where Tiger Woods had, I don't know if you want to call it his PGA Tour debut there, but he played there when he was in high school. Of course, very famous video. I'm sure people have seen it a billion times. He's never won there. You would think if that's a place that Tiger like really teed it up for the first time with the pros, he would have at least won there at least once in all of his dominating career. I don't know if that's the one tournament that's gotten away from him, but it is probably like one of two that he would come to mind for Tiger.
Damn, I had no idea. I didn't know he'd never won that. I mean, they always
Yeah.
play that video of him being 16. He's 120 pounds. Going back to what you're talking about, but wow, that's surprising. But kind of thinking back on this tournament, I kind of talked about it earlier, but I do have to address the some of the breaks that Rom got if no one was watching the tournament. So, did you happen to see his second shot on 17 on Saturday?
I turned it on 18T. I watched like till about 15 and had to go take care of some things. And then, yeah, so no, I did not see that. Wait, was he on the left side? Was he on the trees on the left? Okay, I did see that, but it
Yep.
was muted, so I couldn't really hear it.
So on Saturday, Rom's starting to creep towards the lead, maybe it is in the lead. And he flares a 3 wood. He's probably like 280 out. And it bounces off the front facing of the grandstands and rolls up to 6 feet, makes eagle. The grandstands aren't there. I think he's going to have about 3 or 4 feet of green to work with, chipping uphill. I know these breaks usually, you can say what you want, 50-50 breaks with these, but it was literally like a bank shot that rolled out to 6 feet. So that happens. I turn on, oh no, this is the same round actually. Actually, I
That
can't even
feels like
remember. But anyways.
when somebody banks in a free throw. It just
Yeah.
doesn't feel right. Like it went in, but it just doesn't feel right.
Oh, that would be at least the same line. This was long and like right. It's like an angle backward. So that was like, okay. I mean, there's something about a golfer being this good, getting that good of a break. I was like, I don't know about this. But the one that killed me, I couldn't believe it, was I can't remember if it was Saturday or Sunday, but there was a temporary fenced area. The dude double cross pull into this parking lot. And it goes over a fence and he hits a provisional. And after he hits his first tee ball, he goes, "Is that OB?" I heard it on the mic. Grant proceeds to hit a provisional. And then they cut to a commercial. Next thing I know, he's hitting an approach shot from 100 yards, 3 feet from the fence. And I'm like, "Is this a drop? Is this what happened? Provisional? Is this OB?" They said it was a temporary immovable object slash area. The dude got a free drop, never found his original tee ball, hits it left side of the green, gets up and down for par. And I was like, all right, we've got the bank shot off the grandstands for an eagle. Now we're giving this guy at least another 2 shots. This is kind of bullshit. But that's golf. I think on this podcast and a lot of the weekend warriors like to talk about the advantage of the grandstands, and I'm gonna play that card as long as I can. But
Yeah.
that was kind of tough to see, kind of left a bad taste in my mouth seeing those breaks for Rom with kind of how good he is and those breaks he got. But I guess that's golf, so.
What was Anna Palmer said, the more I practice, the luckier I get. There's some truth to that, but I don't think they had the grandstands back in Anna Palmer's days that they do now. So yeah, that's interesting. We should probably like really dive deep into this at some point. I'm not the biggest fan of the grandstand rules. Like I get it, but it feels like it could be done in a bit more, in a better way to where it feels like it's more true to like what would have happened. Like there are some guys that are like, oh yeah, like I don't care if I miss long of the grand, I'm gonna hit the grandstands and get a free drop. Like, and for us, we can't do that because I'm gonna be 30 yards over the green. It feels a little off. I don't know what the fix is. I don't know. Again, we could probably table that for a different time, but crazy.
I'm gonna keep playing that card that it would help my game a lot. But
I do love the gallery rule though. When you like know you hit it in a certain area and you're like, well, if there's a gallery here, we would have found it. So I'm just gonna drop it.
ah.
And the ref hitting two. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a great rule. It's an all-time rule.
Haven't heard that one, but that's good. I like it.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
fantastic. Yeah, the gallery
yeah.
rule. It's like you know where it's at. You know it's in the rough. It's in like a probably 5 to 10 foot radius, but maybe it's a thick rough that day or whatever. The gallery rule. You just throw one down, hitting two.
Cool. I'm gonna use that
There you go. Maybe I'll cut that for a promo. Who knows? But all right, moving on to or is there anything else to wrap it up pretty good? I don't even remember what next week is. Hey, shout out to, I want to give a shout out actually to Cramer Hickok. Cramer played with Tiger on Sunday in the Sunday Red at Riviera. Shout out to you, Big K. Congratulations. You've played pretty well, shot even par. So I haven't talked to him yet. I texted him good luck on Saturday, and he just gave it the like, which is all I need. So that's congrats to you, Kramer. I'm sure it was an awesome experience. Can't wait to hear about it. Hopefully you'll be a guest on the pod soon.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I think it was a great tournament. Just a few random other things I noticed. Kuchar was up near the leaderboard at some points, which was pretty random, but good to see him back a little bit. I think Scotty played terrible and was like a quiet, almost top 10. So can't forget about how good he is. Him and Rom, maybe Rory, I think is just going to be a three horse race for world number one. But I love that tournament. I think it's kind of underrated. I think it's a good wrap up to the West Coast swing. And we're going to Florida and we got Arnold Palmer this week. So
The Honda.
let's keep it rolling. Oh, no, Honda, then Arnold Palmer.
Yeah,
You're right.
I'm looking at it right now. It's the Honda, and then because Arnold Palmer is an elevated event now. So then you have the rest of the players down in Puerto Rico that same week as Arnold Palmer. So on the Classic, yeah, Palm Beach Garden, Florida. It's a good tournament. I don't think it got the elevated status that it maybe probably should have. But honestly, you can make the argument that a lot of the stops probably should have gotten elevated status. So it sucks that some courses and some tournaments just didn't make the cut for whatever reason the tour decided. But Devon, I think that's a pretty good segue because you mentioned cannot forget about Scottie Scheffler. We want to talk about the first two episodes of Full Swing Netflix documentary. Fantastic. Those are my initial thoughts. I'm loving it. I've heard this feedback from a bunch of different people, but overall, it does feel a bit choppy. Just like, all right, we're talking the first two episodes of the frenemy between JT and Jordan, and then the second episode is more of a Brooks versus Scotty type thing, which is interesting because I feel like they don't really know each other all that well, as opposed to the first episode where it's like the best friends, and now it's like I don't think Brooks and Scotty have they ever even been in the same room together. It feels like I don't know, but they tried to like have some manufactured drama between the two of them. But like we're in Jupiter, then we're in Dallas, and I liked episode one a bit more than episode two. But those are my initial thoughts on the first two episodes of Full Swing. T-Bone, take it away from there because there's a lot more to cover that we want to go.
Episode one. First off, I'm just happy to have any kind of golf content like this. I We've told the viewers we basically, I'm not, part of the reason we rebooted the podcast was because we knew this Netflix series was coming out, wanted to hash it out. So it felt like Christmas when it was coming out, the day it came out. And I think the first episode or was arguably like two of my favorite golfers, or at least favorite golfers to watch. And I think one thing that was kind of interesting was they're telling the story of how Spieth is, so much better than JT. It was, Spieth turned pro first. Then they kind of talk about how JT, is kind of chasing him. Spieth went to Harbour Town. JT didn't play that well. And I was like, guys, I don't know if we have the story right here. Like a year or two ago, we were wondering, like, what the hell is Spieth ever going to come back, And they're kind of buying into the story that Spieth is that much better. I think Scotty T has actually made the prediction that JT will have a better career. And this was 2 years ago. So
To
I
your
didn't.
point, there was, I forgot who, which golf writer it said, but they said, oh, Justin Thomas was kind of always known as Jordan Spieth's friend. I'm sorry, what? And you
Yeah,
cover
just
golf for a living?
I'm not buying into that story, and that's the story that I feel like they were telling. And so that was kind of, if I'm being a golf, kind of snob and not really letting them tell a story, just kind of my thoughts there. But
I mean, to that point, by the same thought process, would you say the same thing about Patrick Cantlay? Would you say the same thing about Patrick Rogers or Bryson? Like all these guys who were actually my class of 2011, we had a freaking stacked class. He even made a comment about that on the doc. Like we had a really good high school class. We all knew each other. So yeah, I guess you could say all of them were Jordan Spieth's friend because he won first on tour. Like that just, I laughed at that. I literally laughed at that.
I wasn't buying into that because, we've talked about Jordan's struggles and how good JT is. So, but the overall, getting access of them to them in the private jet, gambling, playing hammer at what's a Tulsa course, Southern Hills. That was freaking awesome. That's what I want to see. Gambling, private jets, them drinking beers. That's exactly what I wanted to see. I almost
No.
wish I could have gotten more of it, but I mean, that was so cool. I like seeing, what kind of gambling games they're gonna do, and what just kind of like what an average round looks like. So I thought that was a really cool part of the documentary of that first episode, something I really liked.
No, I totally agree. I saw one of the, oh gosh, I can't remember which PGA Tour wife it was, but they were like, don't think that we all fly private jets because like all of them are flying private all over the country. And which in the past actually Billy Horschel kind of addressed it, which I know Billy Ho can kind of rub people the wrong way or whatnot, but he brought a good point. He was like, look, if I pay X amount of dollars to fly, it's not even necessarily private, semi, I think a lot of it's like wheels up, so semi-private type thing. He was like, all right, if I pay 10 grand for that, but that saves me a shot, he's like, that shot could win me 30,000. He's like, that's worth it because he gets to see the course before somebody else does. So like that thought process, it does make sense why they do that. But I remember I flew back from the Players from Jacksonville down to Houston Sunday in 2019. The year that Rory won, no big deal. I was there. Let's see, Jonathan Vegas was on my flight. Cody Gribble was on my flight, and somebody else. Oh gosh, I can't remember. One other PGA Tour guy was on my flight back to Houston because they were either Jonathan Vegas lives in Houston. And then a few of them were connecting to go somewhere else. So, like, yeah, did want to make that
They
clear. Not all of them fly private.
let you on your private jet.
Yeah, I have a special relationship with the
<that's...
Jacksonville Airport.
laughs>
They felt really sympathetic for me after I slept in the Denny's that night. So it was. That's a true story, by the way. Go back and listen to that episode. It's I actually re-talked about that. It's like episode 10 or whatever. Anyway, it's a long time ago. Lots happened
That's
since.
an all-timer.
But yeah, no, it was
I
fantastic. I
think to
loved
put
it. Yeah,
a
give me, I want the gambling games. I want the content. I want They did a good job of getting good access to the players. And you touched it when you first started going. It's unique. It's different. It's something that we love. It kind of felt like Christmas morning.
Yeah. I think to put a bow on episode one, we knew that JT won the PGA Championship, but I forgot about the comeback. I mean, that was pretty insane. I mean, I want to say it was the largest comeback in major championship history. Don't quote me on that, but it was pretty insane. And being able to retell that story was something was good for me to hear, and I had totally forgotten about. And I was getting nervous when the playoffs started, and they show that first hole, and JT makes like a 8 footer for birdie, and I felt like I was watching the tournament again. So that was really well done, and I'm happy I kind of got to see the story again. So episode one w was awesome. So I guess we can go ahead and transition into number two since it's fresh on. Just watched it, so give me the initial thoughts, Scotty T.
Number two was a more, it was juicier. I will say it did feel, as I mentioned earlier, it felt a bit forced in a way of like some sort of manufactured drama, if you will. I get that they, yeah, to your point, Scaff, they need to tell stories, right? They need to try to come up with something. And Brooks not playing well was a big story, whether if it's, and he even touched on it. It was a very unique perspective in the Brooks Koepka's mind, because whenever he talks to the media and whatnot, he's always like, yeah, I'm here to win. Like, I don't have friends out on tour. I don't, it's like, I'm just here to win and have a really smoking hot fiance. Like that feels like that's Brooks Koepka's shtick. But this really kind of got to see peek behind the curtain how much he was struggling. I'm sure he has a mental coach, but there's part of me that wants to be like, man, you need to like see a therapist, not just a mental coach, like a full-on therapist. He has some demons in the last 18 months that have developed, some mental scarring that I don't know if he can recover. And like, maybe that's part of the reason why he went over to live. I think he said it last week, Scaff. He's the business owner. He's got his four major championships. Close up shop, man. Let's cash out. Unless he, that's why it's so interesting though, because he wants to win all the time. Or he said it's all about winning. It's win or go home. He said that multiple times, right? Win or go home. But he's not playing against the best in the world anymore. So that's, I think it's just really interesting to me. But yeah, he also said too, he's like, who's the best in the world? Scotty? Because I forgot they went head to head at the Waste Management last year when Scotty won. And he's like, yeah, whenever you're playing the best, whenever you're playing well, you're not thinking about golf. He's like, but I'm not playing well, so I can't stop thinking about golf. That is so true, man. Like, you go out and have a bad round, you're just like, man, I'm reliving it. Maybe it's in between in the bathroom at work. Like, I'm working on, well, what's that move I gotta feel? Especially when it's your life, it can really consume you. I mean, I even felt that way during junior golf. I'm sure you did too, Scaff. I can't imagine when it's actually for your living. So yeah, it just felt like
Did
Brooks has got some demons. Yeah, he's got to work through them, man.
he drop the line in that episode where it was, when I'm playing bad, I never think I'll get it back. When I'm playing good, I never think I'll lose it. I think he said something like that. But
Yeah.
episode two, I was absolutely shocked. I could not believe that this was the, I don't even know. I don't even know if I believe that this was the real Brooks Koepka. We've seen this guy is, I don't practice. I don't care. I show up. I win. I don't really care about majors. And the dude, you talk about seeing a therapist. The dude's drinking wine on the couch with his mom, saying, "What's Scottie Scheffler thinking about?" Like, comparing him to Scottie. And I'm like, wow, this guy's like, he cares. Seems a little self-conscious, which I was like, I would have never thought this was the case with Brooks Koepka, but it almost felt like he was overdoing it for the cameras, but I wouldn't even think that was something that he would want to kind of buy into. So I thought it was kind of weird. I was shocked to see this side of him. But even the comments he made about, like, I think he's playing the pro-am and he's like, yeah, like, I wish I would have played baseball longer. Like, I don't know. That was like kind of, I think that's kind of the image he likes to play up. But then, in this documentary, he's like, I don't know, like, if I'll ever, play good golf again. I'm like, who are you? This is weird. And then, yeah, it just shows, then kind of the contrary, that shows Scotty, and he's like, honestly, so boring, in my opinion. I was just like,
Boring?
he's just, yeah, I was just like, whatever, this episode of this
No.
guy. Yeah. Dallas boys aren't gonna like that one, but it was
Say,
kind of,
text Tanner that he was out there at Riviera this weekend.
I'm aware. But I don't know. I really liked episode two. I liked how they just showed the complete differences. I couldn't get over that Brooks episode with how surprised I was. And then when the they do kind of leave you at a cliffhanger at the end with Brooks, as he's having a shit year or so, and they bring up the Saudi-backed LIV Golf, and it looks like he genuinely laughed, like, this is a joke that you would bring that up. That was kind of my reaction from it. And, he kind of tells the story that it was a last-minute decision around the U.S. Open. Like, I know y'all don't believe me, but I almost kind of do, because when I watched that show, it seemed like he really didn't think there was anything, or there this LIV Golf had any legs, but he joined. I don't know. I was just shocked to see episode two, with how Brooks was behind the scenes. So, but every episode, I've gotten kind of mixed reviews from everyone. I've loved all of them so far, and yeah, I hope they make a season two, because, I don't know, two episodes in, I'm very, very content so far.
Absolutely. I agree. I like hearing people's reviews because that tells me they're watching. That's a great thing. And the same way that the Formula One doc had that great impact on people watching Formula One on Netflix, I think hopefully this might have the same impact that it does for the PGA Tour. And honestly, like it probably will for LIV as well, with how much coverage that LIV Golf is gonna have with this. LIV, the first weekend or the first year LIV Golf. First tournament of the year for LIV Golf is this weekend as well, down in Puerto Rico. So I don't know if I'll be tuning in. I got finals this weekend, so that's fun, but I'll be a little busy. Yeah, and 3 day class too, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's tough, man. But I digress. So I don't know if I'll be watching it, but if anything, I maybe I'll tune in for the Honda for a bit this week. But I agree, mixed reviews so far. More positive than negative, I would say. One of my big takeaways, Skaff, and we've talked about it like a billion and one times, but here's a billion two times. How many good players there are on the PGA Tour? Anybody can win on any given day, I feel like. And I really got that vibe again when they started covering Scottie Scheffler's little huge ascension rise last spring, winning down in Waste Management, winning the match play. Winning the Masters, all those guys are just like rolling into Augusta. And you have, I mean, Jordan, JT, all the Masters like DJ, Brooks, Scotty, Colin Morikawa, like, Cantlay, the list just goes on and on. I'm like,
Yeah.
holy crap, all these guys are so good. And they're all at the top of their game, too.
100%. And the fact that we don't have some of these live guys too, I mean, it's crazy. One thing I did also write down, that for the Scotty episode, I think they showed him like winning for the first time, but then he like continued to win, won the Masters, and was number one in the world, and they showed that in like 30 seconds. I was like, come on, like, give the guy a little more credit. Like, we don't need to see Brooks talking to his mom on the couch. Like, let's go through Scotty's progression to world number one. Speaking of moms, I just got a text from my mom.
Nice.
Very relevant. She said, she's in Dallas with my cousins, and she said, watching Full Swing, what the heck are those joggers on Justin Thomas? Dot, dot, dot. Horrible. I agree 100%. We've talked about joggers in the past. I've never been supportive of them, but thought that was a good one I had to share from my mom. So, shout out, mom.
Thank you, Mrs. Scaff. That's a T-Bone. Is this where you get your fashion sense? Is that why you're the fashion
Apparently,
guy?
yeah. Neither one of
So you're
us
not
like
a fan of
joggers.
you're not a fan of Eric Van Rooyen's joggers on the golf course?
No. No, I'm not. No ankles should be shown on the golf course. Especially JT. I think he was wearing like the black shoes, black socks, black joggers, and just looks weird. Not my
He's also
not my
got,
cup of tea.
he's also about 140 pounds soaking wet. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you can rock it, you go for it. But I need somebody who's like tall and lanky, like an Erik Vermeulen, who's gonna
Yeah.
rock him.
Yeah. What
Yeah,
about
in the
you on the
same sense,
sun?
I don't want to see Pau Perez rocking joggers. Nope. Not
No.
doing that.
Well, you have to jog. You have to jog before to wear joggers.
Ah, there you go. He just crushes beers and gets birdies. But so one thing I think LIV did do is they allow shorts on the golf course. We can open this up for a different time because I've only got 3 minutes left here. But I kind of like it. I think the pros should be able to wear shorts if it reaches like a certain temperature. Like if it's 90, 95 degrees plus and you're having to wear pants out there, that stinks. That's like unbearably hot.
Kind of a traditionalist. I like the pants.
Well, at least they're not wearing the knickers and the wool cotton shirts anymore and all that stuff. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know how Bobby Jones and Hagen and all those guys
Tie.
did it.
Wearing a
The
tie.
tie,
Yeah.
too. They would have to like tuck it in their shirt, which is.
Yeah.
And you know what? Walter Hagen still won like 11 majors. So, and that was probably after he was out partying all night and doing God knows what. So, yeah.
Maybe I should start wearing a tie.
Well, you did wear a dress on the golf course once, so you're not too far
Yeah.
off.
Yeah. This is true.
Well, T-Bone, do you want to come back for the top five, or do you want to wrap it up?
You lead the way.
Okay, we're going to do top five really quick. So, since today is President's Day, we have decided to bring you the top five moments from the President's Cup. How about that? The President's Cup. Internationals versus the USA. Some people call it the redheaded stepchild of the Ryder Cup. I don't know if I believe that's correct, but I don't think they're too far off at the same time. But the President's Cup is still a lot of fun, still has some great moments. So we're here to bring you the top five moments, snake drafts. We're gonna go back and forth, okay, Scaff, on each of our top five moments for the President's Cup. Before we get going, thoughts on President's Day and the President's Cup, T-Bone.
Thoughts on President's Day. I wish I had it off. I don't know if everyone does. We talked about that earlier. Would have been a great day to play golf. Thoughts on the President's Cup. How many times has the international team won?
It's one time. They
Really?
won one time. Correct.
Wow.
There's been
There goes.
16 President's Cup. 16 President's Cup.
16.
Yes, it was first played at night in 1994. So, little inside baseball, I guess the PGA Tour and the PGA of America used to be the same organization, but then Arnie and Jack kind of split off and did your and founded helped found the PGA Tour, which is more for your touring traveling professionals, and then the PGA of America deals more with the you're like your head pro at your club or at the local public course. Those are PGA professionals, not the tour guys. So they were the same organization. They split. There was bad blood there, but I think everything is like time heals all wounds. They're good now. They play nice. But the PGA of America owns the PGA Championship as well as the Ryder Cup. PGA Tour did not have that. So I think this was their response to the Ryder Cup is having the internationals versus the United States of America. So yeah, that's kind of a little brief history of the President's Cup. As we mentioned, fairly lopsided. It is they've won one. The internationals have won one trip or one time, and there's been one tie. So it is 12-1-1 advantage of the United States. Yeah, so it's the US versus everybody outside of Europe, pretty much. A lot of players come from Australia, a few from Canada, South Africa are the main hubs, I would say, where they pull from. And then you have like your Hideki Matsuyamas from Japan and a few other countries like that. So you know who played for the President's Cup one time? Angel Cabrera. Do you remember him? From Argentina. won the Masters, and last I heard, I think he's in jail.
He's behind bars. He hasn't been
Yeah,
playing in
we
the
need to
Masters.
do. Yeah, we need to do. What happened to that? Well, we
Yeah.
need to start a segment. What happened to that guy? And he'll be number one.
I like that. That could be a good segment. But yeah, I think we're gonna try and do this top five on a weekly basis. I like being on brand here. I like the President's Day theme. I'm being totally candid. I'm gonna have trouble coming up with my top five moments, but I say we get into it. See where it takes us.
If we need to do top three, we can adjust. But the segment, the idea is to be top five. So T-Bone, I will let you go first since there's one pretty obvious one, I think, is the best moments of, or maybe not the best moment, the most memorable moment of the President's Cup. But I will start with you. What is your best moment from the President's Cup?
Cool. I've got a few. I say my favorite, most memorable moment. To be honest with you, I don't know what year it is. I don't know what day it was, what the format was, but it's an iconic video of Tiger Woods. I want to say it's singles, and the video has been edited in. Put to Dr. Dre music, and it gets me so pumped every time I see it. But he hits what looks like a stinger 3 iron from probably 250 yards into a par five, does the club twirl, and it almost goes in for an albatross. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, you definitely will when you see it. And it's just, I don't even know if it was meaningful, but it was just so badass. So much swag, probably Tiger's best club twirl of all time. So that's kind of my iconic key moment that I think of when I think of the President's Cup. Do you have any
There's
idea what I'm
definitely
talking
been
about?
some, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. He's
Yeah.
in like the checkered, kind of
Yeah,
argyle looking
the
sweater.
sweater. Yes. It's like
Yeah,
khaki and black. Yeah.
he's there with the
Incredible.
blue hat. It's an all-time moment. Yeah, he stuck like a high cut three wood to about 2 inches. It felt like it was phenomenal. I wish I could overlay the video on top of it, but I would probably get in trouble with the PGA Tour since they're like pretty tight about their. Maybe I'll just put it up in the description here. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. I'll put it up in the description right here for
We
you
could
to
recreate it
do
at some point.
Oh yeah, we should totally do that. It's interesting. I think there have been more like Tiger fist pumps from the President's Cup because his Ryder Cup record sucks. He's performed a little bit better in the President's Cup. So my number one is probably the most obvious, most memorable one, the tie. 2003 South Africa, Ernie Els and Tiger Woods go neck and neck. They're in a playoff. It's the Sunday. Everybody's played it all the way through. They're in a playoff, and the captains for those teams were Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player, and they decide it was best to end in a tie and let the teams share the cup. They've done like a documentary about it in the past. It's pretty cool. So everybody go check that out or just go watch it on YouTube somewhere. Ties suck though. Ties are the worst, especially for golfers, for elite athletes who are that competitive. I mean, Tiger Woods is like the Michael Jordan of golf. And we all watched The Last Dance. Like if you would have told Michael Jordan, like, hey, sorry, this is going to end in a tie. Like, I understand they were pushing daylight and all that stuff. That's not lost on me, but still, definitely made it for the most memorable President's Cup, in my opinion.
And correct me if I'm wrong, this is similar to, or if not the same as the Ryder Cup, where you have to win outright. If you do tie, it's whoever's retained the cup, aka the previous winner, but they decided to call it a tie.
I don't think that rule had been in place yet for the President's Cup. So that's why they agreed to share it. Because, yeah, you're right. If the Ryder Cup, you have to beat the other team. Or if it doesn't end a tie, then you retain a cup. You got to beat them to get
Yeah.
it. I don't think they have this rule yet.
Cool. Gotcha.
So,
Okay.
yep.
Well, all right, moving on. It's funny, I don't really have any like big wins or big victories in my list, but Another moment that's super memorable for me is Woody Austin. For those of you guys that don't know Woody Austin, kind of a character, goofball,
I
hothead.
forgot about that.
He hit a shot, or he was playing a shot that was on the edge of the water, and he had 1 foot in the water, 1 foot on ground, puts on his rain gear, ends up taking a hack at it, and goes full head underwater, club in the water, just totally drenched. And it's a hilarious video. I think the next day someone gave him goggles to wear, and he was walking around wearing goggles. So I think I almost feel like the US team in the President's Cup just like has fun. Like they can just kind of like, it's not really a tournament. Last year got a little close, but I think there's just a lot of things like that that happened. But if you haven't seen it, first go look up the Tiger President's Cup, three wood or whatever the hell he hits, and then Woody Austin taking a plunge.
That's an all-time moment. I forgot about that. Yeah, he put on the rain gear and like just went head first into the lake. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So my next time, number two, next moment is how about the handshake? Tiger at Royal Melbourne. I was playing Abraham Answer. You know, Abraham Answer was like, man, I want Tiger. You know, he's that young guy. Give me the goat. I could take him down. It's like somebody trying to tell Michael Jordan, hey, I can beat you 1-on-1, and he's 6 years old and still just taking him to school. That's pretty much what happened here. Tiger beats Abraham Answer, and as soon as that puck goes in, takes off his hat, gives him that handshake. I mean, the internet just, I think the internet broke when that happened. And then, of course, like the memes start going out. There's this one video where like somebody timed it. Tiger like hits it and immediately starts shaking his hand like before it went in. It was great. It was an all-time
Yeah.
moment. I love that from the President's Cup and a more recent one too. So that's pretty neat. And of course, Tiger's involved, so you know it's great. That's my number two, Tiger handshake.
Nice. Yeah, I think the edited videos were right when he hits it and shaking the hand. That's so good. But it
He's so
wasn't that
awesome.
much different. Wasn't that much different. But yeah, that was a pretty epic moment. So are we doing top three? I think we cap it at top three.
All right, we'll do three.
I can think on my feet if you want, but you'll see how desperate I am with that third pick.
Let's hear it. What
So
you got?
I want to say it's the Ryder Cups every odd year. Sorry, President's Cups every odd year, right?
Let me see. It's going to be every even year now because they
Did
switched it
COVID
because of
do
COVID.
something?
So yeah, because
Yeah.
so
Okay.
2022 was at Quail Hollow, and now 20 yeah, because the Ryder Cup was on even years. But it was on odd years pre 9/11. So 9/11 switched
Gotcha.
it up. And now, because of COVID, they're going back. So, yeah, the next President's Cup
Gotcha.
will be 2024 at Royal Montreal in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Cool. Cool. Well, this was probably, I want to say, right before COVID, whichever President's Cup that was, probably 2 ago. And if you've seen the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, they'll do post-round press conferences where they'll have the whole team lined up in a press conference. And there was 1 year the U.S. had just won, and someone asked Jordan something. In the post-round press conference. And apparently the whole day there were these drunk US fans, and every time Siwoo Kim got up to it, they would go, Siwoo, shaking that ass, shaking that ass, shaking that ass. And they asked Jordan about it, and he ended up singing that at the press conference, probably after a few adult beverages. And I thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in a press conference. So, again, it shows you these top three. I've got one shot from Tiger, a guy going in the water, and then Jordan singing Siwoo shaking that ass. So, it shows you how competitive this tournament is in my eyes. But hey, we're doing it for the president.
It's for President's Day. It's for the brand. Yes. I'm with you. That's an all-time moment. See, woo, shake it out, shake it. It just like kind of came out of nowhere too. That's was the best part. And then you have
Yeah.
Patrick Reed sitting right next to Jordan cracking up, which like, LOL, he'll never be on the ride. Yeah, he'll never be on the team again. So at least for the foreseeable future. My
Yeah.
next one,
All right.
wrapping it up
Take us
here.
home.
I am going to go with Mike Weir taking down Tiger. That year, 2007 President's Cup was at Royal Montreal in Canada, and Mike Weir is arguably the most successful Canadian golfer ever. Masters champion 2003, lefty, likable, was playing so it was like a really good player at one point, and then I don't know if it was like injury that got him or what, but maybe it was that the stack and tilt swing that he started promoting. I don't know. Anyway,
Was he a stack
but
tilt guy?
he was, I did. I remember the golf infomercials. He was like the only guy that they would promote the stack and tilt
Yeah.
swing about.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have
But
too many guys
yes,
that could promote it.
no, they did not. But 2007, it was in Canada on Sunday. Mike Weir goes head to head against Tiger Woods and he takes down Tiger. Pretty awesome. Good moment for Mike Weir. Yes, again, US won pretty handily, I believe. Let me look it up. Yeah, they won 19 and a half to 14 and a half. So I think it's interesting. Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player were both captains for like three straight. So that's 6 straight years. Clearly, they couldn't get anybody else to do it at that time, but
Yeah.
I digress. So yeah, that's a good moment there, I would say. Good. We gotta have one for the international team. They only have one win anyway, 1998. So let's give him Mike Weir in Canada taking down the GOAT. He made a birdie on 17. Let's see, and then Tiger hit a shot in the water on 18, and he did not chip in for par, and which ultimately Mike Weir won the match. So good for him, Mike Weir moment. You weren't expecting a Mike Weir moment on today's podcast, were you?
Nah, that or the stack and tilt. That was the double whammy. It was
That's what happens when you bring Mike Weir into the mix. Like you just the two things he's m most known for, Masters in 03 and stack and tilt.
That's all I got, honestly. And I didn't even know about the stack and tilt thing. So you learn something new.
That's right. Well, everybody, we appreciate you sticking with us. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. You know, again, great week at Riviera. More next episode or next week we'll be talking Full Swing episodes 3 and 4, and then we'll bring you another top five, and we'll see what we come up with here. And if you have any suggestions for us, let us know. That's why you should follow us on social media at 3 and a par pod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Posting videos there a couple times a day, actually. I don't know, just having a lot of fun with them. Goal is to get the 1,000 subs. So, sup everybody, help us get us there. Subscribe, rate, and view 5 stars wherever you're listening to this. We appreciate y'all. T-Bone, turn it over to you for the final word.
I'm just happy we're getting some momentum. 2 episodes in, that's more than we've done in the last 2 years. So only up from here. Augusta's lurking. The daylight savings is lurking. So all systems go with the podcast, golf season, and we're here for it.
Couldn't have said it more. Also, thanks to everybody who sent us messages this last week. The feedback's been pretty great. Everybody loved the picks, especially your Sung Jae Im preseason pick for the Players, as well as Dustin Johnson for the PGA Championship. So big, big fan. Yeah. Maybe we just need to change all of them to either Scottie Scheffler or Jon Rahm at this point. I don't
Yeah.
know.
I don't hate
Perfect.
those at all. Jon Rahm could win the Grand Slam.
If he does, then I'm going streaking through the quad. How about that? I'll do something drastic if he wins the Grand Slam. I don't know what that means, but I'll do something drastic. But all right, let's land this plane. Everybody, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. We'll see you next week. Scotty T and T-Bone. And remember,
Little white ball is life.